Scripture this morning, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God our Father. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. I'd like to start off with a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Guide and direct our thoughts. Speak your words through me, Lord, and may they be a blessing to those that hear them. Guide and direct in all that we do. Thank you. In Jesus' dear name, amen. God is our Father, isn't he? He's our ultimate Father, right? Even Jesus called his Father, Father. The Bible has some examples of the fatherhood of God. God is due our utmost respect and reverence as our Heavenly Father. Isaiah 64:8 says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We all the works of your hands." Matthew 6:9, "This then is how you should pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He's to be honored. He has status. Matthew 7:9 goes on, "Then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" He just wants us to ask him. He wants us to spend time with him. In Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit of that makes you slaves again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." God is our Father. June, in the United States at least, is the month that we celebrate Father's Day. It's the third Sunday of the month they have set aside for celebrating Father's Day. Mother's Day is in May. What do we think of about that time of the year? We remember the fathers in our lives, right? Do our memories draw our minds back to God and how wonderful a Father he is to each one of us? We should share him with others around us, as we do with our earthly fathers. God is the only true, pure, loving Father that there is. He never gives up on those who are trying to follow him. We make plenty of mistakes in our lives, but he doesn't give up on us. It starts back in the Garden of Eden when Jesus created this earth, the animals, the stars, the sun and moon, and all, and then man and woman. Adam and Eve were the first parents, and then came the rest of the families listed in the Bible and all of the human race since then. Jesus is the one that created us, so he would be thought of as our Father, although he calls his Father in heaven his Father. Starting in Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over the creeping things that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And it was so. God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and morning were the sixth day. He took his time, didn't he? But yet he did it all in 6 days. People want to believe today, it seems like, the earth just blew up, a big explosion of unknown matter, and all of a sudden we have an earth. And how can they believe such a story when the Bible tells how it's done? Isn't it easier to believe in a God that created us than in nothing? The Bible tells us all about creation. God created everything. In John 1, starting with verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So Jesus provided everything that we needed as a human race, didn't he? And isn't that what a father does? His duties and responsibilities to apply for his family? Well, God has done that for us. So what do we do here on earth? We call our dads father. Are we doing wrong? Good question. I'm not sure what is the best way to look at it. Let us see what the Bible has to say, what they call them. There is nothing wrong with being a good dad. Good dads are a blessing from God to their families. Without them, same as with mothers, there wouldn't be no families, would there? It takes both. And a dad or father is supposed to be the head of the household. The Bible tells us, as far as the human race is concerned, that the men that had children were called fathers, small F. God the Father is capital, isn't it? Genesis has a list of fathers and sons that became fathers, but doesn't tell us much about them. In Genesis 4 is the story of Cain and Abel. Most of us know that story, a very sad one. The two named grown children of Adam and Eve. What happened there in the story is the first murder recorded. Very sad. Was their parents at fault? Did they make mistakes? Was it their fault? We're not told in the Bible, but we are told that Cain himself made some bad choices in doing what he wanted and not obeying God. Then, in the latter part, it gives the lineage of Cain, and then at the end, it tells us about Adam lying with his wife, and she gave birth to a son, Seth. And Seth had a son and named him Enosh. The Bible also tells us that at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. We don't know how old some of these people were or how many children they had. We aren't told that, are we? Of all the ones through the genealogy that is recorded there in Genesis, the only one that tells how many children was Noah. He had three. We are told that Cain was building a city in chapter 4 of Genesis, but we are not told how many children Adam and Eve had, nor anyone else at that time. There must have been a lot of dads. In chapter 5 of Genesis, we are given a genealogy of Adam to Noah. Adam was 130 years old when he had the son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived another 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Adam lived 930 years altogether. Seth was 105 years old when he became the father of Enosh. Seth lived 912 years. Enosh was 90 when he became the father of Kenan. Enosh lived 950 years. The list goes on to Noah. They all had other sons and daughters, and we are not told how many. Noah is the first one in the Bible that tells us how many children he had. When Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In chapter 6 of Genesis begins the story of the flood. The sons of God were marrying the beautiful daughters of man. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Man had become so wicked that every inclination of his heart was evil. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. Man, animals, creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Even though God had so much pain in his heart from the misconduct of his human children, he shows his love to the human race. On all that he did for Noah, we can see his love. We all know the story of the flood and how God saved them, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, along with certain animals. Altogether, Noah lived 950 years. Noah must have been a good father for his family to be saved. We get discouraged too, don't we? When our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren do things that we know is wrong and they're going down the wrong path, it hurts, doesn't it? But we still love them, don't we? And we want to do whatever we can for them. We pray for them. That love comes from God. God loves man, human race, man, woman, children, everybody, because we're his children, aren't we? He loves each and every one of us. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. The stories go on to Abram and Sarah, which God ended up changing Abram's name to Abraham. Then how God saved Abraham so many times when he made mistakes. Yet he was a good father for Isaac to trust him the way he did. You know, we stop and think, Isaac really trusted his father, didn't he? So he must have had a good relationship with him. Do we live perfect lives? I haven't, sad to say. Or do we make mistakes? We make mistakes too, don't we? Just like the people in the Bible, we make mistakes. Yes, we all make mistakes, and when we do, God helps us through them. Sometimes we have to suffer the consequences. As fathers or dads, we are raising our families through an on-the-job training program, aren't we? At least that's the way I've looked at it, because every child was different of my five children to discipline and do things with. Each time was something new. Some make better choices than others, but God is there with us to help us when we ask him. He's there wanting us, again, to have that relationship with him too, isn't he? As we want with our children, and hopefully our children want with us. We have the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even some about Lot and the things that he did, even with his two daughters. He made a lot of bad choices in his life. Kind of comes together there, doesn't it? We have also in our lives, haven't we? As we read about these different men in the Bible, it seems like some of them came from dysfunctional families. And yet, they're listed as God's children. As the stories go on through the Old Testament, we read about the good and bad choices that these people made. Some were really bad. Being a king was a prized position, but the lifespan was not very long and promising, was it? When we get to the New Testament, in Matthew, we get another list of names that are the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The list is from Abraham to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. There were 42 generations in that list. Joseph and Mary were picked to be the most important parents of all time. They were called to be the parents of Jesus. A little beyond our understanding how it could all happen, but it did, didn't it? Just like God making this earth. It says so in his word, so that's what it is, right? The New Testament does not tell us a lot about what kind of fathers people were, but it shows us Jesus and his character that we might follow. It shows the love that God had for us on our behalf so that we could be saved from our sinful paths. As a father or dad, I have 5 children, 13 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. I've never made all the right choices in my life, and I look at the way that some of them are living today, and it hurts. But I still pray for them, and I believe in the promises in the Bible where it talks in Proverbs about a mother's prayer will not go unheard, and I think that goes for dads too, and that God will contend with those that contend with our children. So we have promises, same as the second coming. We got promises that we can trust and know. All I can do is to try to be a better dad, a better father figure, a better person as the years go on, that they might see Jesus in me and come to a closer relationship with Jesus. I pray daily that God will help me to be a better father, grandfather, great-grandfather. God has answered a lot of my prayers in my life and even saved my life several times. I had a fairly good father figure in my life, not the biological father, but a stepdad. And he made lots of mistakes too. But you know, if we take and look at the positive things, that's what matters, isn't it? And I think that's why between him and my mom and that, and God's working, that I am the person I am today. God gave me a gift, and that gift I kind of inherit from my mom. It's a gift of gab. So to get up in front of people and talk or talk to anybody, it's easy for me. I know some people, like my wife, it is very difficult for her. She's shy. It's hard for her to get to talk to people. And I just pray that God will use me to be able to talk with others about Jesus and to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me to be a witness to those around me. Because God has a task for each one of us, doesn't he? He has a mission that needs to be filled. People need to hear the truth about God, about Jesus, and that God loves them. He loves them so much that he allowed Jesus to come and be our sacrifice for us, didn't he? Yeah. What kind of father do you want to be? Or what kind of dad? The best we can be is to follow Jesus' example on how to live a righteous life, to be forgiving, loving, and willing to help others, and to be able to be used by Jesus for the saving of souls. The gospel message is the message of Jesus and his love for the human race. He calls us brothers and sisters, and for us, his Father is our very ultimate Father. God is love, and he will help us to be good fathers. Amen. Let's remember the dads and our fathers and remember the good things and then be able to share too, most importantly, all the good things that our Heavenly Father has done for us over the years and is continuing to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being such a loving Father, a loving God, forgiving and helping us through all our troubles and all our mistakes. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And thank you for the good influences that you have brought in our lives by different people, especially our dads. Guide and direct in our lives, Lord, and help us to go from here a better person each and every day to take and spend time with you, that you may continue to work on us, to change us, to be the people that you want us to be. Thank you. In Jesus' dear name, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, again we come to you, thanking you for this time to be able to come to this church and worship you, to spend time with you, and to know more about Jesus and his love and your love for us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and strengthen us each day and each moment that we may stand firm with you, as the song says. Guide and direct in our lives, we pray. Thank you. In Jesus' most wonderful name, amen.